And welcome to another edition of the Tom Green Podcast. We just had the schedule released just a little while ago, and I brought in another guest to go ahead and break down schedules for two of the 32 NFL teams. Yes, it is not Alex DeWitt about the Los Angeles Rams, but it's a man, a myth, and possibly a legend they call football by Nico. Nick Buenavides is with us tonight. We're going to be talking about the Rams and the Lions schedules. Nico, welcome to the Tom Green Podcast.
How's it going? Very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, and apologies for the delay on the podcast, but since we have a new schedule and we know when and where our teams are playing, we can go ahead and break them down. So, first of all, you guys are Super Bowl champions for the first time since 2000. Are you still kind of feeling the high of that Super Bowl championship, or what's kind of the feeling now in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I think definitely people are still feeling the high. Obviously, you know, you had the draft, which kind of pumped people up a little bit too. And I think this was one of the more well-received drafts in Snead's recent years. So I think we're still kind of riding that high, but we'll see as the season starts, you know, kicks off home at Buffalo.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of our first point is opening night. Opening night for the past umpteen years has featured the Super Bowl champions, which, of course, the Rams are the champions, and they're facing a team that a lot of people thought was going to make the Super Bowl this past season, except for 13 seconds, and then Joe Burrow had said otherwise. The Buffalo Bills are heading to SoFi Stadium. First question I got for you, what are some of your initial thoughts of SoFi Stadium, as you've, I'm certain, visited that stadium before?
Yeah, it's a great place. I mean, you just go and see, like, some of the building and, like, architecture that's there. It's crazy. It's the best stadium I've ever been in, for sure. And I know that when I got to go on the field, because the field is, like, lower than ground level, you can just look up and just see, like, the big dome of the stadium, and it's crazy. It's really cool.
Yeah, that was one of the more interesting stadiums. Definitely very secure, as ushers were everywhere, and you really couldn't get down. You really couldn't get down low, like I like to try to do. Of course, trying to network and whatnot. I actually did get to meet Cameron Irwin, who is, as you probably know, the Rams host. She's great, and I generally do like the stadium. I think there's a lot of quirks around it, but of course, the new stadium. He Stan Kroenke to use his own money, actually, to buy that stadium. So nonetheless, moving to Rams-Bills, what are some of your initial thoughts on this first game for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. I mean, you got two offenses, and like I talked about on the show yesterday, it's two teams that are pretty similar. You know, the Rams, they didn't look like they had it together all the times, you know, last season. Same thing with the Bills. You know, they lost in Jacksonville. They just weren't able to put it together 100% of the time. And I think you're just going to see a great offensive match. And your defenses are both solid as well. I think it'll be pretty equal on both sides. And, you know, whoever comes out on top will be the winner, obviously.
But pretty much. And you can't really take a whole lot from the first game of an NFL season, as a lot of Super Bowl champions have won that first game. But we know just how hard it is to repeat as champions, so you really can't take a whole lot from that first game, but we do know that it's going to be quite a matchup, as that's a matchup that very well could have been what the Super Bowl was last season. So at least for my guys, for the Lions, you got two games against the NFC East right off the bat that are probably going to tell you where the direction that this team is going to be going this year, and that's home to the Eagles and home to the now Washington Commanders, which, you like the name, you hate the name, it's what it is. They now have Carson Wentz. As one of my tweets was a few weeks ago, Mr. Wentz goes to Washington. So it'll definitely be quite interesting to see how this new defense that the Lions are kind of scheming up with Aiden Hutchinson and the new signees on the defense will bode against an Eagles team that surprisingly made the playoffs last year with Jalen Hurts. Obviously, the Eagles have said yes to Jalen Hurts as they picked up A.J. Brown. And the Washington Commanders, well, at this point, who knows what that team is going to be? Because Ron Rivera is a good coach, He's a defensive coach. He's brought that team to the playoffs once before with Taylor Heinicke. But again, the ownership is just in so much of a flux that we really don't know what's going to happen, to be completely honest. So those two games are going to be a telltale sign of where this Lions team is going to be this year, in my opinion. Anything you might have to say?
Yeah, I think like you said, those two teams, you know, they haven't been as great as they could have been the last couple of years. You know, they're adding A.J. Brown, adding Carson Wentz. I would say Carson Wentz is the best quarterback they've had in the past couple of years, even including Taylor Heinicke and stuff. And that's not saying much. But I think, like you said, it's going to be a tone setter for the Lions season. They come out guns blazing like they did in the Rams game. I think both are going to have a great season.
And for my case, let's hope that is so. So for you guys, Bills to start off, and then Atlanta. New quarterback. Desmond Ridder was a draft pick, but it's still up in the air who exactly is going to be the quarterback there. And then you've got a showdown, and then you've got divisional play for two games. In Arizona, in San Francisco. So there's four games right there that are going to tell you, yes, you do get a bit of a breather with the Falcons, but we know how the NFL is, how the we see it just about every year except 2008 and 2017, any given Sunday, where any team can lose to any team. So the Rams did have the toughest strength of schedule going in, and in the first four games, it tells you three out of four are very, very well could go one way or the other. The Bills, of course, right now, as of right now, this podcast recorder, you guys are listed as a one-point favorite against the Bills. Falcon, after that, they don't have any lines, but I got to assume at least one of those games is going to be a loss. I'm sure you're hoping that that's not the case, but you have Bills, Cardinals, and Niners, three of your first four games. Seems to me one of them is going to be on the wrong side.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know, obviously that's not what I want to happen, but I definitely agree with you. If I were to pick, I would probably say San Francisco or Buffalo in that order. I know that at San Francisco has always been a tough one in recent years, even though they did get the win in the NFC Championship. But I think Buffalo, they might be able to handle a little bit better than San Francisco as of right now.
Yeah, because with the new teams that we have seen from years past and now even this year, you got to go through offseason, you got to go through preseason, which this is the first time in 2 years that teams have an actual full offseason where they don't have to worry about any sort of COVID protocols, which is a relief to everyone involved. And let's be honest, the COVID protocols weren't necessarily all that enforced when it comes to, what did you hear from the outside? Because you and I were both at SoFi Stadium on the same day. Masks were required, but did anybody really, truly wear them the whole time?
No, they did not. No, I didn't see that many.
Not I said the Tom, and not you said the Nico. So moving ahead to later in this schedule, let's just kind of a guesstimate. How do you see this schedule panning out for your Rams?
Yeah, so I think definitely you gotta win in that season opener. You got the ring ceremony, maybe the banners going up. I'm not sure because you know the whole stadium deal with the Chargers, but I think that's a definite win for them. I think that they're probably gonna outplay the Bills, but it'll have to be a win for the morale and that kind of thing. I would say it's a pretty easy win in Atlanta, then a win in Arizona and a loss at San Francisco. And then the Dallas one is a little tricky. You know, you never know with the Cowboys, but I would say a win there and a win at Carolina.
Sure thing. So I'll go ahead and break down this schedule. Usually when I sit down and do schedules, I figure one game you're going to win that you shouldn't, one game you're going to lose that you shouldn't. It's just how professional sports rolls. Even if you think that team is a college team, somehow they're going to find a way to win a couple games. So I'll go ahead and look at this schedule and see how we roll. Bills first game at home, ring ceremony, 1-point favorite as of right now. I see a close victory by the Rams, somewhere in the ballpark of 31-27, something in that ballpark. Defenses are great. Offenses are great. It's going to be more of an offensive show. Rams 1-0. Falcons. Maybe this is that game. I don't think so. 21-7 Rams 2-0. Cardinals at Arizona. I know that this has been a tough divisional schedule for the Rams, but I honestly see them winning this one too, 3-0. Niners, they're going to be pissed off because of the Jaquiski Tartt dropped interception. I see a win for the Niners there, 3-1. Cowboys, God knows about this team. They have high expectations, but they never exceed them. I think Mike McCarthy is a little bit better coach than people think, but he also has made some very, very puzzling decisions that have cost to the Dallas Cowboys. In this case, I'm going to go ahead and go weird and pick Cowboys 3-2. Panthers, Sam Darnold, Cam Newton, does it really matter? 4-2, Rams win this one. Return game for the Niners against the Rams. This is where the Rams get their revenge, 5-2. Bucks. Tom Brady's back. He's going to get his revenge. I like to go on a lot of revenge factors, too, when it comes to preseason schedule predictions. 5-3. Cardinals. This is where the divisional play is always tough. 5-4. At the Saints. The Saints crowd is loud, but the Rams are just a better team. 6-4. At the Chiefs, without Tyreek Hill, but they added Juju Smith-Schuster. Very interesting game. I'm going to say 7-4. Rams win. Seahawks, the first time we have seen Seattle on this schedule. They also end with Seattle. At home, I'm going to say win 8-4. Raiders. Is this team going to be what we expect them to be, or are they going to be lackluster like they always are? I would trust the Raiders a lot more had Rich Bisaccia stayed as the head coach rather than Josh McDaniels. It's up in the air. 9-4, Rams win. At the Packers, Lions fan, 10-4. Without even thinking about it, because do I really need to talk about Aaron Rodgers? Ugh. Broncos. Russell Wilson. I think this is going to be the game that this is. I think this one will be the weird one that the Rams lose that they shouldn't. 10-5. I think I've got. Yep, 10-5. Chargers. That one's going to be fun at SoFi Stadium. The matchup between your two teams potentially for seeding in each case. I'll take the Rams here. I will, even though they're technically the road team, they're the home team, 11-5. Seahawks, depending on where seeding goes, just raw pick them. I'm going to go ahead and say win. Based off raw games, I got you at 12-5. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a pretty good prediction, I think. I know, like you said, I definitely would go with Tampa Bay over the Rams in week 9. I know they've had Brady's number on the Buccaneers the past couple of years. He's got to win one sometimes. And I think maybe Kansas City is the one that beats them. I'm not sure, so sure about Vegas or Green Bay in terms of how strong they are now that they swapped Devontae Adams. And I think in order, starting from week 8, you go win at San Francisco, lose at Tampa Bay, win at Arizona, win at New Orleans, loss at Kansas City, win at Seattle, win at Vegas, win at Green Bay, and then win at Denver, but loss at Los Angeles. I think that might be the one that surprises some people. It's just how good Justin Herbert and the Chargers are going to be next year. And I think you go win at Seattle. So pretty much about the same record. I think that was probably 12-5 as well.
Sure. So the game that I got them losing that they shouldn't is home to Denver. And the game that I have them winning that they really shouldn't is at the Saints, honestly. Because Superdome, that is a very, very tricky place to play. So as for the... Yeah, go ahead.
I was saying, not so sure about the Saints team, but you are right about the environment.
So let's go ahead and break down the Lions schedule. And this is coming from a Lions fan, so I could be too much of a homer. I might not be. we'll go ahead and figure this out. So, week one, home to the Eagles. The Eagles destroyed them last season at Ford Field. Home, week one. Philadelphia is not as superb of a team as San Francisco was last year, even though Detroit made a furious comeback against San Francisco in week one. I think Detroit takes win week one, starts 1-0. Commanders, like you had said, Wentz is probably their best quarterback they have had in quite a few years. That being said, the team is very up in flux. I'm going to say 2-0. At the Vikings has always been a wild card game. Last year it came down to a field goal. This time, I honestly don't like my chances here. 2-1. Home to Seattle. Seattle has had Detroit's number over the times they have played. Now, of course, with the divisions, it's an off year, especially for our two teams, it's an off year. But I think the script stays the same. I'm going to say 2-2. Wow, Seattle beats Detroit by 2, maybe 3 scores. At the Patriots, this has also not been a fun place to play for the Lions. 2-3. At the Cowboys, again, Dallas, who knows, Mike McCarthy, like I said, better than people think, but also makes very questionable decisions. I'm going to say, go ahead and say 2-4. Home to the Dolphins. The Seahawks have had the Lions' number. The Lions have had the Dolphins' number. 3-4, even with Tua and Tyreek. Home to the Packers. Detroit has had sneaky success at home against the Green Bay Packers. Usually it was in week 17 or 18 when the game didn't matter. This time it's a little different. Give me the Lions here. 4-4 after week 9, I think it is. At Chicago. Chicago has struggled in the past few years with that offense, but not against Detroit. 4-5. At the Giants. If the Giants really win this game, then the Lions are in a heck of a lot of trouble. 5-5. So we're looking at a 500 record going into Thanksgiving against the Bills. This is the Lions' basic Super Bowl, if you want to call it that. I will go ahead and say it as a Lions fan. That being said, the Bills are just too much. 5-6. But the Lions get a reprieve because they have the Jags the very next week. 6-6. Home to the Vikings. Depends on how the Vikings are doing at that time. The Lions picked up their first win of the year last year. Home to the Vikings, 7-6. Lions and Jets. My goodness. If the Lions actually are 7-6 at this point, there could be something here. 8-6. Lions, Panthers. The Panthers have also been a sneaky team that have had the Lions number. 8-7. Bears, 8-8. Packers, depends on where Green Bay is at that time. If they have no interest in this game, Detroit finishes 9-8. If the Packers absolutely need it for the playoffs, 8-9. So you've got basically a 500 record for my Lions. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar to what you said. I know that's probably the area that most people were projecting them as. And I think that they were very close to having that record last year, if I'm not mistaken. You know, just a couple plays away, you know, the Justin Tucker field goal, the Vikings field goal, like you said. And I think this is a team that's going to come out and be a surprise team that not anyone's going to expect really next year.
For sure. So, you look at a Justin Tucker field goal that went off the crossbar and somehow went in. The Vikings last second field goal. The Steelers tie. That's three games right there. You're looking at a 6-win Lions team last year. And we both have seen the Dan Campbell effect on this Lions team. So, that all said, we can talk a little bit about the draft as well. How do you feel your Rams did in the picks that they actually had? Nonetheless, but I will say they went all in and they got their ring.
Yeah, I know, like you said, obviously they're not going to have any first or second or even their original third round pick. But I think they did a great job of just filling in that depth. You know, when you're a team that doesn't have a first round pick, you know, or even a second round pick in this year's draft, they did a great job of just filling in the needs that they had with some young, maybe underrated guys. And you got Logan Bress with the first pick, who could easily just go in and compete at right guard or left guard to fill in for Austin Corbett. Then they got lots and lots of DBs. I know Leslie likes his safeties and cornerbacks. So I know that they're just very young room right now, including all the rookies. Then you got Kyren Williams, who was a pretty interesting pick, I thought, from Notre Dame, who definitely could compete with some time for some time in the backfield with, you know, some of the injury-prone running backs we have on the roster. So I think overall it was just a good draft, you know. Getting some of the depth behind those major star players is what they've had to do the past couple of years. I think they did a great job, again, doing it this year.
For sure, and the Rams' way was to pretty much buy their way, and it worked. So with the draft, they obviously have proved that if you go for it and you put all your chips in, you can do it, and that's exactly what they did. So for my Lions here, Hutchinson obviously was the guy. Going into the draft, my thought was Hutchinson or Thibodeau or trade down. Well, when you're the second pick, obviously one of those two is going to be there by default. So it was Hutchinson or Thibodeau. When the Jags picked Walker, it was obvious, Aiden Hutchinson, and we got our guy. The Vikings made two very, very interesting trades within their own division, one of them involving the Lions. That brought Detroit Jamison Williams from Alabama, which was a huge pickup in my mind. If he can just recover from that injury, he's going to be a stud. Josh Pascal from Kentucky, an edge guy. Lions needed a lot of help on defense. They got it with Hutchinson. They got it with Pascal. Kirby Joseph from Illinois, keeping it in the Big Ten. Big Ten guy, I'm fine with a pick. James Mitchell from Virginia Tech, a tight end. You got to have some type of security behind Hockenson, because towards the end, before Hockenson got hurt, he was the number one guy. That tells you how depleted Detroit's receiver core was. Now, of course, Amon-Ra St. Brown made a huge charge late in the year, which made a lot of Lions fans happy. But when you have your tight end as the leading receiver and his name is not Vernon Davis, something's wrong with your receiving core. Malcolm Rodriguez out of Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State had a good defense. Should have won the Big 12 last year, except for a late charge by Baylor. Good pick. James Houston, Jackson State. HBCUs are coming back now because of Deion Sanders. That's a good thing. And James Houston should be a pretty good pick as well. Chase Lucas from ASU. A solid seventh round pick. Hopefully he can find a way to make the roster. As seventh round picks sometimes make the roster, other times not. Overall, A minus. They probably could have gone another defensive guy instead of James Mitchell, but you need that security. So overall, solid A minus draft grade. How would you grade the Rams?
Yeah, I think I would give them just a flat B. Obviously, you know, most of the articles I've seen, you know, grading the Rams draft have given them F's and D's, and I'm like, man, obviously it has worked for them in the past, so I think they know what they're doing in terms of drafting the players that they want. Really like the Quentin Lake pick after watching him, you know, all season at UCLA. I know that he's just a really solid tackler and is basically just Jordan Fuller version 2, so I'm really excited to see him play for the Rams. But overall, I think it's a B. I think there's a couple positions that I would like to see, maybe just a late round wide receiver, but overall solid draft. Really like all the picks.
For sure. And with the, of course, like we had said with the Rams, you have a somewhat lack of draft picks. In fact, the promotion for the NFL draft was better than perhaps the actual draft itself for Rams fans, as they were waiting just about 2 days for them to see a pick. But when you have a ring, it almost feels like it don't matter. But nonetheless, the draft, I can see a B. Raw picks, I could see where the F's and D's come from, because, well, you kind of want to utilize the draft a lot more than what the Rams have. But we've said it on this show, the Rams have proven that you can go against that mold and you can still win as long as you get the right pieces around you. Stafford had his quirks, as he did in Detroit, but he somehow found that way to win that ring for LA Rams fans. And Les Snead and Stan Kroenke have that ring. And as far as the draft goes, it's kind of a wait and see process. But nonetheless, Stafford has his ring. And well, tell me about Stafford through the eyes of a Rams fan in year one of him. I've had him for 12 years. What was it like, obviously?
Yeah, just another thing I just remember as we were going through the draft is that they traded a fifth-round pick next year for Troy Hill, which I think is being pretty underrated by the rest of the NFL community. I haven't seen many people talking about it. I think it's a great move, and I think it's going to help them create more turnovers on defense next year for sure.
So, good deal. Just
to answer your question, yeah. I think that it was an interesting year for Stafford. Like you said, he has a lot of quirks. One of the main things I noticed about him is that he trusts his arm talent a little more than he should. I know that a lot of the interceptions came from just like really silly reads or like just mistakes. I know there was a couple of them where they were tipped from the receiver. There was one where he was just like trying to bomb it downfield and the safety just caught it. So I know most of those, he did lead the league in interceptions, unfortunately, but that's just what happens when you're a gunslinger like he is. But I think he was definitely an unproven over Goff for sure. And just overall, the offense just seemed to change around him, which I think McVay did a great job of adapting to his skill set, you know, his ability to push the ball down the field more, and just his ability as a veteran quarterback, you know, to make those reads. I know everybody probably saw that no-look pass in the Super Bowl. That's kind of the experience that he brought to the team.
Yeah, and Sean McVay was licking his lips quite a bit when he knew that Stafford was going to be available on the market, and Detroit knew that it was time for them to do a rebuild. And while I honestly, as a Lions fan, am very salty that he signed an extension with the Rams, him being present at Miguel Cabrera's 3,000th hit told me that this guy still cares about the city of Detroit. Yes, I don't like that he signed the extension because I want him to come back to Detroit at some point. When you're offered a lot of money, you take a lot of money. I'm sure if wherever you're working at, another job of that similar caliber offers you 10 times the salary that you were given, you would take it. So in a way, it's not necessarily Matthew Stafford's fault himself. It's just me being salty as a fan that I wish that he would have came back to Detroit, but he won his ring, he's got an extension, he's living large.
Yeah, definitely. I know, like you said, obviously he got a big extension. I know Cup's in line to get a big extension soon. Aaron Donald's also in line to get an extension, so they have to pay their stars for sure, and that's why, you know, they do the things they do with the draft picks, because you have to surround those stars with decent talent, and I think that that's why many analysts, you know, don't think that they make good picks. But when you look at it, like, some of those guys that they picked in the past have gone on to become like pretty quality starters for them, you know, Sebastian Joseph Day, Joe Noteboom, some of those later round guys have developed into pretty decent starters for them.
Absolutely. So with that all said, of course, our lovely people at Zoom decide that these things shouldn't be more than 40 minutes. So with that all said, we definitely had a good chat about the draft. We kind of dived into it, so promote yourself a little bit. You are Football by Nico. Tell the Tom Green podcast crew of the people listening who you are, what you do, and about NFL Sapien and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm the Rams beat writer for NFL Sapien, covering the Rams, all the news, updates, free agency, all that kind of stuff that you could ever think of. Also, we'll be covering UCLA football this next season full-time. So I will be at all those games live from the Rose Bowl, giving you updates. And as well as we were covering the Gamblers right now, having a scouting report come up in a couple of weeks. So be on the lookout for that. And over the summer, we'll be doing a detailed breakdown of the Sean McVay offense under Matthew Stafford. So you can check out all my work at Football Sapien, Football by Nico on Twitter and Instagram. And that is it.
Absolutely good deal. to the NFL Sapient crew. They do a great job, and I'm thankful that I got to join them for a bit, and that helped me get to where I'm at now, which is the Huron Daily Tribune covering the high school teams out in Michigan Stum, and still contributing when I can, just like this podcast. And the podcasting is always a good thing to do. So great to have you on, Nico. Anything else you have to add to this wonderful Tom Green podcast?
No, thank you for having me on, and hopefully the Lions can put together a nice season next year. We'll be rooting for them.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that Hard Knocks is going to be a great show for everyone involved, and looking forward to it. So he is Nick Buenavides, or Football by Nico, and this has been the Tom Green Podcast.